Grief has a way of freezing time. For Sloane Munro, the 2 years since her fiancé Brandon's motorcycle accident have been an exercise in merely existing. Her once thriving cooking blog sits abandoned, her painting career stalled, her days a careful navigation through what she calls a minefield of hard days. But on the anniversary of Brandon's death, fate intervenes in the form of a copper-colored dog who literally crashes through her broken sunroof. Tucker, a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever with soulful amber eyes, becomes an unexpected lifeline. After numerous attempts to contact Tucker's owner through increasingly frustrated voicemails, Sloane begins to believe the dog might be meant for her. When Jason finally calls after returning from Australia, their initial hostile exchange gradually softens. Despite her reluctance, Sloane agrees to keep Tucker until Jason returns from his remaining 3 months abroad. This simple act becomes the catalyst for Sloane's journey back toward living. Through daily walks with Tucker, she begins moving through the world again, establishing routines that force her out of isolation. The dog's endless enthusiasm proves infectious, drawing her out of her shell one tail wag at a time. As she later reflects, "My house has become a mausoleum, not for Brandon, but for myself, the happy version who cooked and painted and lived fully." Through Tucker's unconditional love, Sloane slowly discovers that honoring Brandon's memory doesn't mean stopping her own story. Practical conversations about dog care quickly evolve into flirtatious late-night calls. Their playful banter about zombie apocalypse survival skills reveals a surprising chemistry. When Jason suggests sharing Tucker on a hiking date upon his return, Sloane feels her first attraction in 2 years, along with guilt about moving on. Their connection deepens when Sloane reveals her once popular wild game recipe blog. Jason is stunned to discover he's been using her recipes for years, an invisible thread connecting them before they ever spoke. As they continue texting, Jason playfully tries to extract personal information from Sloane, who remains guarded. Their exchanges are filled with witty banter, despite Sloane's insistence their upcoming hike is an appointment, not a date. What makes their connection compelling is how it unfolds entirely through conversation. Without physical presence, they build a foundation of genuine interest in each other's lives. Jason shares stories of his northern Minnesota upbringing and donating bone marrow to a stranger, revealing his generous nature. This slow-building connection creates an intimacy that transcends physical attraction, preparing them for their eventual meeting. Despite their daily conversations, Sloane dreads meeting Jason in person, suddenly self-conscious after 2 years of neglecting her appearance. She fears he'll be disappointed when he finally sees her. Their planned casual meeting changes when Sloane's kitchen pipe bursts. Despite her reluctance to share her address, the emergency forces her hand. When Jason arrives, their eyes meet in an electric moment before he tackles the plumbing crisis. Working together through the emergency creates an immediate sense of comfortable partnership. After fixing her sink, Jason boldly asks Sloane to dinner, a date, not an appointment. Their evening unfolds in sweet moments, exchanging lottery scratchers with an agreement to share winnings, sharing ice cream, and connecting intensely while listening to Name by the Goo Goo Dolls in his truck. Despite Sloane's no first date kisses rule, Jason breaks through when he moves across the seat, cups her face, and kisses her. Their chemistry ignites into unexpected passion until someone thumps the hood, telling them to get a room. The connection they developed through phone conversations translates perfectly into physical reality, confirming what they both suspected is something special. As their relationship deepens, Jason conceals that he's actually Jackson Waters, a musician nearing superstardom who wants Sloane to know him as a person first. Though she knows he's a musician, she doesn't grasp his career's magnitude. The truth emerges when Jason performs at his friend's birthday dinner. Sloane is captivated by his talent, his voice like honey and coffee grounds, sweet and textured, even better in person than on his album. She realizes he's destined for fame, feeling both flattered and unworthy. Jason faces his own dilemma when his label demands controversial pop star Lola Simone, who once made unwanted advances, as co-headliner for his international tour. His manager delivers a harsh reality. Refusing means breach of contract lawsuits that could end his career. As Jason's career accelerates with soundtrack releases and SNL appearances, their relationship confronts the reality of his 14-month tour. The distance would challenge any new relationship, but Jason's fame adds media scrutiny and Lola's unstable behavior. These obstacles force them to question if their love can survive his career's demands and how to balance their individual paths forward. When Jason invites Sloan to meet his family in northern Minnesota, it marks a milestone in their relationship. For Sloan, who's had no real family since Brandon's death, the trip is both terrifying and meaningful. At the lakeside log house, Jason's family welcomes her warmly. His mother Patricia delighted for female company, Father Paul offering a surprising hug, and brother David engaging in good-natured teasing. Their genuine dynamic shows Sloan what healthy family relationships look like. They canoe into the boundary waters where Jason sets up camp on a remote island perfect for stargazing. By the campfire, they discuss their future and past, their relationship deepening. Sloan reveals Jason is her first relationship since Brandon died. Their passion unfolds naturally under the stars, with Sloan feeling cherished and completely at peace in his arms. Their idyll shatters when Sloan discovers Jason's motorcycle, triggering a panic attack as memories of Brandon's fatal accident overwhelm her. Through tears, she explains Brandon's injuries and makes Jason promise never to ride again. He agrees to sell the bike and holds her through her breakdown. This crisis creates another layer of intimacy, with Jason realizing his heart is now split in two, half with me, half with her. As Jason's tour approaches, their situation becomes clear. His 14-month international schedule means massive time differences and limited connection, unbearable for Sloan, who has already experienced profound loneliness. When Jason suggests she join him, Sloan agrees despite reservations. 14 weeks in, she's exhausted and unwell, while Jason thrives. Learning his contract requires 3 more albums spanning 9 years, she faces a grueling future in this lifestyle. Their story takes a heartbreaking turn when Jason fabricates infidelity to protect Sloan from the toxic music industry. This sacrifice, though from love, robs Sloan of agency in their relationship. Their journeys converge at Jason's Los Angeles concert, where he publicly confesses about letting the love of his life go. Despite her disguise, Jason spots Sloan, jumps off stage, and kisses her before 15,000 cheering fans. 3 years later, they've created balance. Jason signed with a smaller label, giving him more schedule control. Perfect timing with their baby on the way. Their story reminds us that happiness comes from writing your own script, creating a playlist reflecting your unique path to healing and love.